can't remember what all the slides come in, so I do apologise if I come across as less than professional. I'm using a much more boring one for with professionals, so I've kind of skipped this one, but I thought it was much more fun. So, these are a few statistics, which are quite scary. I'll just skip through them quite quickly. That's excluding mortgages, obviously. Okay, sorry. Every 17 minutes, a house is repossessed. 337 people are made bankrupt every day. The average household debt is just under 8,500, not including mortgages and secured loans. The average adult owes 126% of their annual salary. 1,545 people are made redundant every day. So that's some of the need, different things. Although, in fact, the most overwhelming need is caused by people who fall ill. If you get sick, there's very little help. So the solution, a centre where you can get advice about money in Durham. I used to have a slide that says it does exactly what it says on the tin, but I took that one out, I think, I hope. And thanks to Tim Knight for the logo. So, Vision is not just money advice, but a money ministry. Because Jesus had more to say about money than about faith. And it's a very core issue, obviously, at the moment in Britain. And we need to be those who understand the times and know what our nation should do. And that's particularly true in this general election year. And everyone needs to know where they stand on money issues. What do you think about benefits? What do you think about sanctions? What do you think about the bedroom tax? So the history of Durham Money Advice Centre. I've put 2002 as the seed, which was when Alan and I first had a conversation about setting up a money ministry within Emmanuel Church. But in fact, it was the last Stoneleigh Bible Week the previous year where I went to a talk about making a difference in your community, and debt advice, money advice was one of the things that was mentioned, and that really stirred faith in me. So we started a CAP centre, Christians Against Poverty, which I'm sure lots of you have heard of, to provide debt management, and that ran its course between 2003 and 2009, with Janet Hayes as the debt advisor and some volunteers, including me. And then in 2010, we relaunched as Durham Money Advice Centre. So this month actually marks our fifth anniversary. So this is quite an apt opportunity. It would have been the beginning of April, but I got stuck in America with the volcano, so, which is why I always remember which year that was. So we wanted to widen it out. Christians Against Poverty was very much just about debt, but we wanted to challenge Christians and, well, everybody really, to think about money, not just about debt, but about their attitudes to money. And in 2013, we set up in 2010, as I say, in the, above the charity shop, the Beyond Ourselves shop. Basically, Durham Money Advice Centre was getting a bit too big for us in Emmanuel, so we transferred it to Durham Christian Partnership to give it not just a wider audience, but a wider base for volunteers. So whilst myself and Kath Bussey are now paid members of staff at Durham Money Advice Centre, we have another gentleman from elsewhere in the county working as a paid member of staff, and we have several volunteers, quite a lot of whom are from Emmanuel Church, so if you want to join that select band, please do. And we've continued to grow. So in our first 5 years, I wish I'd taken that one out. That was me in 2011, I think, actually. We saw our first client in May 2010. You know who you are? I didn't do that properly. So that year we saw 26 people, so 41 individuals, their families and children, and we now have 202 clients as of today's date, with over £1.7 million of debt. Ironically enough, that works out at £8,500 each, so they each of them have the average amount of debt. Well, not each of them. On average they do, but for them, it's unmanageable debt. So it's not just big debt. It's not, you know, huge amounts. I've had clients with as low as £400 worth of debt. But for them, unimaginably difficult to pay back if you've got no money to spare at all. It might as well be £4 million. So we're open to everybody. We'll help anybody. But we want to share the love and the gospel of Christ. That's our particular mandate. So we do offer debt support as our principal activity. But we also want to offer education. So that's both to school children, doing RE lessons, whatever they call it now, PHSE, whatever that is, or even maths lessons, because it's just gone back into the national curriculum since last September, both in PHSE and in maths. Now, to be fair, the maths side, generally your primary school children will come home with a piece of paper with coin sizes and you're supposed to stick the coins on and send it back, so that it's actually just a fundraising activity for the school. But, you know, we'll educate them ourselves better than that. And also for adult education and offering budgeting advice and general money advice, but not financial advice. I keep hearing people coming to me saying, should I buy these shares? And I have to say, I don't know. So not financial advice. If you want that, see someone else like Adam Finn. But for general money advice and budgeting particularly. So there's a course that we can run. So if people here would like to run a course, I'm sure I can bully Alan into giving me an opportunity to do a 2-week course just on budgeting. When I say 2 week, I mean 2 evenings, not the whole week. That would be bad, wouldn't it? Right, okay, so that's what we do. So what can you do? Well, you can support us with financial giving. It costs us about £240 per client to get them out of debt, but if you can imagine, that's getting them out of £8,500 worth of debt. Suicide attempts. I've had clients who've attempted suicide before reaching us. You could literally save a life with £240. It's a great deal. Time. So when we visit clients in their own homes, we're the only debt advice service in the county that can do that, which means that the people who can't get help can come and sit, or we can go and see them. So we've got people with agoraphobia, people with serious health problems. Our most serious client had locked-in syndrome, so he could move his eyelids and that was about it, which did make getting his signature a little bit hard. The bank kept saying, this is not the signature, and we go, yes, we know. But so you can chaperone us on visits and you can get to know clients and befriend them. We haven't really made much of our befriending service, which we did have better under CAP. But if people would volunteer to just, you know, listening is so important. We normally leave 2 hours for a first interview. The first hour is just listening to somebody's problems. It may not be financially related, but could be at whatever problems they've got. So any time that you can spend doing that and leaving a trained debt advisor to do the debt advice. Prayer, obviously, biggie. And administration and IT web support. If you've got any office skills and you're free during the day, sadly that's when the banks are open, then we'd love you to come along to our offices and help us with that. We've got a beautiful new office with 8 desks, 4 of which are empty, so I've got plenty of space for more volunteers. And finally, if you need budgeting advice, or even if you don't feel you need it, but you'd quite like to hear what it's like, use that and recommend the service. So if someone else says to you, oh, I don't know how I'll feed the kids this weekend, I've run out of money before the end of the month, well, send them to us. And I'll just leave you with that quote from a client. But before, I want to actually say a bit more about the general work of Durham Christian Partnership. Obviously, we run Durham Money Advice Centre and the Food Bank, and we're integrating those two more and more. So we're now having drop-in debt advice in some of the Food Bank centres. So I've got a flyer or two for Brandon. So if you went along on a Tuesday afternoon to Brandon, you would see the delectable calf bussy waiting to help people. But there's also lots of other things happening. Healthy eating on a budget courses, IT, literacy, all kinds of stuff happening there. And our newest initiative, which Glenn knows a lot more about than I do, is the Fuel Bank, which you may have seen in the paper, and I hope you don't read the Daily Mail because they didn't like it, where people who come to the Food Bank for food can also get a voucher if they have a prepay meter to pay off their gas and electricity. So all in all, with an integrated approach where people can come in, get some food, get some gas and electricity, and then get help for their ongoing debt advice needs and benefits advice needs. Okay. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you.
Alan, do you have any good prayer points that you can share? Because we've been praying a little while.
Well, as I say, money's quite a biggie, really. it's increasingly expensive and increasingly not funded by the government or the local council or people like that. So that would be probably the biggest. But really, for people to the clients to come to know Jesus, they're at a crisis point in their lives where really good news is so unlikely that the good news of Jesus Christ can make all the difference, you know, in how they can approach their problems. So that's the biggest thing. Prayer and money.
Thanks, Alan. We're swiftly going to move into the financial report for the last quarter. Could you hand over that section there? Just handing around these sheets that we report on now. I'm sure that you've all seen them before and are content with how they kind of work. I just want to run through them. So they come around, I'll give you a minute or so to look through them. So I just want to start with a gratitude, a statement of thanks, really, but initially primarily to God, but also to you guys for your generosity in giving to support the church, the work of the church here, and to really see the impact we're having as a community here. I mean, it's great to hear what Isla's doing with DMAC, and we have been part of that in the past, and all the other things that we're involved with is just such a privilege, and it's cash is needed to do those sorts of things. And to get involved in so many different areas, to preach the gospel and go to different nations and see God's kingdom come here. Also very grateful for Jen and her team who leads the finance team for all the hard work that she does while juggling a full-time job as well. Thank you so much. And we're really blessed by your diligence in that area and the team that you lead. The sheets you have in front of you, hopefully these are really accessible to people. I am not particularly financially literate, so I find these things really easy to kind of work through. I've tried to reduce and have as few numbers on here as possible and use lots of pretty colours. But those of you who want to look at the actual figures, I've got some sheets behind me here that do have the actual details of each figure printed down. If you want to look at all the finer detail, you're more than welcome to get that. So just to run through the sheet, for those of you who are not used to it, our expenditure, we designed that so it's looking at what a pound that we spend, where is that spent, and it's divided up into those particular areas. Our income, looking at our main income streams. And this particular quarter, running to the end of March this year, we didn't have any gift aid return. That happens just once a year. And there was no major special offerings that we had during that time either. And then we look at the income versus expenditure, as you see there, and we look at what our balance is after that, and last quarter we had a shortfall of £5,000. Cash in hand, bottom left, that's just a way of working out how much cash we have available during that period, and we try and have an amount of £170,000 cash in hand that is going to be able to run us for 6 months. And we have only managed to get £129,000 cash in hand during that period. Tithing, this graphic is just showing how many of our members, what percentage of our members tithe, which is this time is 65%, so I think it's up 2% from last time as we reported on that. And this is a great opportunity to remind you, if you are not gift aiding or get a standing order set up, we'd be blessed with that. And also just an opportunity to remind you to perhaps review your own giving. If things have changed over the recent times, you could review that. And the last graphic is looking at our building liabilities. We still have a loan outstanding on this building, which is split between a bank mortgage and our members' loans. And this sheet here has been fantastically designed by Andy Biggs. Okay? Marvellous job you did with that, Andy. If you turn over the sheet, you'll see the graph I did. And this is just to give an idea of tracking of how changes are happening over time. And I've simply looked over the last few, 18 months or so, the income versus expenditure, do we have a surplus or a shortfall? And you can see from the end of 2013 what's happened with that surplus or shortfall over that period to see how things are kind of developing over time. I must also point out that these particular figures don't include VAT for some accountancy reason, which I'm sure Jenny would love to explain to you if you want to follow that exactly. So that's where we are standing at the moment, looking a bit more positive than it was 18 months ago, a year ago, but still running a slight loss as we go through this time, but bearing in mind that we are having the gift aid recovery later on in the year, and also special offerings that help develop that. So as I mentioned, gift day, just to remind you, the 17th of May is our big day in our church life, probably this year, because we've got so many things happening on the 17th of May. Tybo, do you know of anything happening on the 17th of May?
Will you be there?
You come in. So we really feel that weekend, if you haven't kind of quite worked it out yet, the 17th of May is the very first To Grow meeting that we're having, where we meet at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and 10:30 in the morning. And at the 10:30 meeting, we have got Ray Lowe with us, who's coming specially up for this. And he's going to be preaching and praying and laying hands on Tywo as he becomes an elder of the church. And we're excited about that as an eldership and as a church, I think, coming on board. So Ray is going to be there for that meeting. And then in the afternoon, we have Mark DuPont with us, and he's doing his final session at the 4 o'clock meeting in the afternoon. He starts sessions on the Thursday evening, starting at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
So that his sessions run through Thursday, Friday and Saturday, and then Sunday at 4 o'clock. And it's also within that, on that day, we're also taking our gift day up as well. So, and that is, as Alan mentioned a few weeks ago, we are looking to support Tori and John as they come alongside and help us with it pastorally, with our student support, and it also is going towards our ongoing church vision and all the things that we're actually involved with as a community. So I've finished. Are there any questions? And this is the moment I looked at Jenny, because she had all the actual answers, but any questions people have?
Can I just ask on the income expenditure?
Yes.
Is that included in the Durham Centre, or is it separated from the church and the Durham Centre?
Separated from the So the place where TVC comes in is on the income pie chart. You'll see there's a significant chunk that's come across. That's the money that the business gives into the church. But it doesn't include, so the business runs on a day-to-day basis separate from the church, but it gives its excess, any excess profit and everything it gives back into the church. So in these figures, this is church only, but we receive an income from the business, which if we didn't have, we wouldn't be in the situation, anywhere near the healthy situation that we are.
That's part of the 94.
Yes. So that whole pie chart is the 94,000 of income.
Andy?
The money in accounts, the 129, that's just money in accounts and doesn't include any accrued gift aid. Is that correct?
Correct.
I.e., if you shut up shop now and ask the tax man for some cash, the tax man would come up with some cash.
He would.
Roughly how much?
On the basis that we've got almost a full year, probably something of the order of 45,000 to 50,000. The reason that we don't put that in there specifically is because, well, to be honest, the reason it's in there, it's not in there in a, apart from the period at which you actually receive it is for ease.
Yep.
Because accruing it and showing it somewhere approved, just then when you get the amount, it just it isn't as easy as I'm sure you can imagine to spit it out. But it's also because we don't actually receive that as such as cash in hand, because it virtually all goes out to pay off the members' loans for that particular repayment for the year. So it happens in one particular quarter, we get the gift aid in and a significant chunk of it goes straight out to repay the members' loans repayments for that year. So you'd see that obviously without going down the liability side, but so it basically shows once a year in the quarter where we receive it.
Okay.
Hi, Jonathan.
It looks like members' loans outstanding will probably be paid off by, not this one, but most likely the one after. Is there any plans for what will be done with the gift aid money after that happens? Or is that still too early, or is it too early to ask?
That's up to the eldership.
Shall I spend it?
Yeah. All in favour.
That's a good point, Jonathan, because we've had for the last, it'll be 10 years, wouldn't it, we've been paying off members' loans, is that right?
Not yet, quite.
No, but when we come to the end of it,
yes,
it'll be at 10 years.
When we come to the end.
So that is going to release some money that has been tied up because of the actual project we've had as a community here. So that will be happy days.
We can start that building project.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, Greg.
On expenditure, where does staff come into?
Some of it comes in ministry and some into children's work. All right. Oh, look at that. Marvellous. So please take those home with you and put them in your file with the other sheets that you've been collecting over the last 18 months. And when we do this next in a quarter, you'll see how the trends and developments are happening. Thank you so much. I'd love us if we could pray now. I'd like us...
Now, we just have one or two things for people to share. Andy, if you can just come and share
a conference and yourself. Yeah,
exactly.
And things.
As everyone knows, I've retired and don't do any real work anymore. which is why, amongst other things, today I got appointed to be Chief Executive of Tradecraft. For the period ahead as we go through change. But apart from that, the exciting times keep me busy. I'm also a trustee at Community Money Advice, which is the organisation Isla mentioned, which equips and runs or helps a number of churches like Emmanuel, like other churches, to run debt advice centres. There are around about 140 centres nationally. And every year we have an annual conference that draws many people together. We have keynote speakers, have some very exciting time. It's a very good time to reflect and to equip churches to change their communities through debt advice. And so happens we've got an annual conference this year in a place called Durham. Have you ever heard of it? And there seems to be a nice building to use. So on the 6th and 7th of November, the Community Money Advice annual conference is here. So you're all kind of welcome to come. And we might be looking for a few volunteers to help out with some of the admin-y things around the fringe of things. And bringing some catering. And it's going to be a really exciting time. So there'll be more sort of publicity coming in due course, but that's a really good opportunity for us as a church, again, to help equip communities and other churches to make a difference in the way that we've seen a difference made here.
What was that date, Andy?
6th and 7th of November, Friday and Saturday. And we have a guy called the Bishop of Durham speaking. Never heard of him. He's the keynote speaker for the event.
Excellent. Oh, that's really exciting. And as Annie's speaking about retirement, we have someone else who has just, well, probably technically at midnight.
Technically an extra day, but practically 2.5 hours ago.
2.5 hours ago, yes. So for those of you who haven't heard yet, Stephen has taken early retirement because he's only 42. And he's going to go out there. And they're going to just enjoy themselves. So how many years have you worked with the centre?
Well, since before it was here, actually. Cleaning floors.
Yes. So it's a whole new chapter for Stephen and Christine. Thank them for all that they've done here. And I have no doubt there will be more work for them to do. But if you ring with a question for Stephen in the sort of working week, he will no longer be here. So you need to find another way of communicating. And I think it would be really good if you rang around about midnight, each night, just to disturb his hours of prayer.
Calls will be forwarded.
So it's a big step. So we're just hoping that they really enjoy it. And you're off to Old Hartley. There's a fantastic caravan site. We were there last year. Totally enjoyed it. So it's all change. And as you know, we started our trial period of two meetings on Sunday. And how many people were around when we used to have two meetings in the sixth form? How many remember the second meeting? How many were scarred by that? Yes. And it also with some sort of fear and trepidation that you sort of enter into the second meeting starting at 11:15, think, oh my word. And it was a really good time. We had 146 at the first, we had 92 at the second, and we think that probably around about 20 people were coming to both, who were serving in various capacities. But it really was a very good session, both first and second meeting. So we're looking forward to see how that develops over the next 2 weeks. And then, of course, we cheat as we get Mark DuPont to come in to do our first 4 o'clock meeting. And I want to thank all of those people who have said what a wonderful idea having a 4 o'clock meeting is. But I'd love them to turn up. The number of people, absolutely, the number of people who come and say, I think that's really good. I'm not coming. So we are very open to see how it works. We haven't gone into this with any preconceived ideas, really. But we've got off to a good start, which is very encouraging. What I want to do, I want to enlist your help as ambassadors for Regions Beyond. When you talk to people in the church, it is the level of ignorance regarding what we are part of is quite incredible. And I thought tonight would give us a really good opportunity for questions to be asked, for answers not to be given, so that we can all leave here. So we can all leave here. But when I was talking, you know, we've only been in Regions Beyond a year past October, and I would say it's probably one of the most significant changes that we've had within church life for many, many a year, and has given us a different direction. It's given us a different family to be part of. But we need to have an understanding of how the thing works, what it's all about. And sometimes, I remember talking to one of our members, and I was really pleased that they're not here tonight because I wanted to mention what was said. And then I realized that it was being recorded. So I asked forgiveness before we start. But when talking about Regions Beyond, I referred back to Christ Central. And this was someone who had been to several of the Christ Central Bible weekends, assuming that they understood what Christ Central was about. So you're talking about, well, you know, we were part of Christ Central. No, they said, well, I didn't understand that either. Where do we begin? The best way for us to understand is that we are part of a particular family of churches. And for me, that means relationship. It means meaningful dialogue. It means gatherings. It means everything that we expect from a good family life. And that's what Regions Beyond is and is seeking to develop and build to a greater extent. If you were to look at the sort of father figures within the whole situation, you've got Steve Oliver and you've got Ray Law. And they were both leading separate families, if you like. Steve Oliver with Regions Beyond, Ray Law called his family of churches Impact. And Sandra and I went to our one and only Impact weekend, and it turned out to be the last Impact weekend, because at that point they decided that Steve and Ray would team up, put all their resources together, and just form this larger family unit to encourage churches to fulfill the worldwide vision to which God has called us. So, family. Think of what good family is, and that's what we're seeking to build with people within Regions Beyond. But it's not just an eldership thing, it involves others, and I want to come on to that in a little while. At the moment, there are 91 churches worldwide, covering in 5 continents. 16 of those churches are in the UK. And of course, that is something that's going to grow and develop quite quickly. But 91 churches, 16 in the UK, and it is the heart of Steve, Ray, and should be our heart as well, that we see new churches planted, new communities of faith established here and abroad. And, you know, as a church, this is part of our history. We've had a history involved in many different nations. And I think for us to be part of Regions Beyond was just, in a sense, just a natural development. Because, you know, many of you, how many people here have actually been to Albania on one of our teams? Now look around there. Quite a few have been on at least one of our teams. And that's just Albania. We've had teams to other nations as well. So, we know the passage in Acts where it speaks about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Sometimes the ends of the earth seem to be easier and more attractive than our Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Because it's easier to have other people out there. Whereas when we talk about the communities we are part of, communities around Durham, that can be a huge, huge challenge. But together, what we want to do is to press on and to press through and see some breakthroughs in some of the communities around Durham. So Usher Moore, gathering 15 to 20 people, they're going to increase the number of meetings that they're having on a Sunday. I think the idea is to go to 2 meetings a month and then for that to increase near the end of the year. But we're also looking toward developing stuff through at Chesley Street. And at the moment, there is very little at Chesley Street. But many of you might remember Mark Jones, who was with us October time, I think it was. He did a session on, I think it was on Saturday, and then he was with us on the Sunday morning, Mark Jones from Gloucester. He moved into Gloucester to plant a church, and there was only Mark and his wife. And can you imagine moving into a whole new community? Just the two of them. We'll get on to this in a moment. And here they are, 10, 12 years later, a church of approximately about 100 adults. And the thing is, it's hard work. It can be very slow work. But when you see and hear the stories of lives that have been transformed, and you see people who are just giving themselves into this community to serve God, you think, what an incredibly tremendous thing to sow your time and life into. And, you know, it's a congregation that covers all age groups. And there are those there who have been baptized in the later years, shall we say, and they're on fire for God. And this is the best church ever, you know, and their lives have just been radically transformed. And then you've got the younger element, but all one in Christ. And it's wonderful to see. And this is what we need to be praying into, for God to give us in many of the communities around Durham. Because when you go into them, I think, not necessarily so much Chesley Street, because it wasn't a mining community, but when you go into the mining communities or the ex-mining communities, you still realise that the heart was ripped out. It may be several years ago, but it still can be very raw for those who were involved in it. And we need a miracle from the love of God to come and make a difference. So we've got the community at Usher Moore we're going to pray for. Chesley Street with Hannah and Adam Finn. We need to pray for them. Now, a church that we are getting a little bit involved in is not part of Regions Beyond. But John, if you just come and tell us what you're going to be doing up at Shillbottle, please.
So I don't know, many of you may know Joss and Jill Bray. They were sort of down here a long, long time ago, I think. So they were part of the church it was Northumberland County Church, it was based in Bedlington. And they were an outlier of that. And about 2 years ago, I think it was now, they decided that they were just going to plant out into Shillbottle, which is a village just south of Alnwick, where they live. About last summer, summer before that, I went up with a group of people, been back in November. We're going up on Sunday again. They're a nice group of people. They're probably around about 20 or so, and well, we're just going, I'm speaking, we've got musicians coming in, we're just going to serve them and to bless them and to just extend love, because they're very geographically isolated, and so we're just going to do that. So various of us will be there at the first meeting, and then we're going to whiz off while everybody's having coffee.
Excellent, thank you.
Now, at the moment, the church there is part of the Christ Central family of churches, and I'm hoping they don't join regions beyond, because that would rob us of our position as the most northerly church in the UK. And I mean to say, you go to conferences, and what people have... Now, that'll be part of us, so it won't count. Yeah. You go... I mean, we were at an elders conference just 10 days ago, which was organised to accommodate the men in the north. It was held at Crewe. So I thanked them for those who had spent 3 hours travelling from the south to the north to get to the north. And I also thanked those of us who had travelled 4 or 5 hours from the north heading south to get to the north. But we had a great time. The nearest regions beyond church to us is Selby. And what we're wanting to do is to develop relationships with Dave and Ange down in Selby. So when Dave and Ange sort of appear among us, it isn't some sort of random person that sort of wandered in. It's because we intentionally want to build up that relationship, because after Selby, there's this huge geographical gap to the next regions beyond church. And I'm not even sure where it is, because my ignorance of the south is as much as theirs is of the north.
London.
So, you know, what we want to do is to really forge something between us and Selby. So we'll have folk going down to Selby. I want Dave to come up here. So that's why that happens, because it's part of this family relationship. I often think people complicate this whole thing about the different apostolic spheres. Let's talk about families of churches. I think for me, that's the bedrock of what we're involved in. Regions Beyond, Steve at present is based in Dubai. He was senior leader at Gateway Church at Dubai, and he has stepped back from that, handed it on, and he was telling us that since he has given up that role of leadership, the church has grown by 15%. Now, don't get any ideas. Steve's basically given up the local responsibility so they can concentrate more on things worldwide. And I think anyone who has spent some time or talking to Steve or has actually just listened to him, you'll realise that there is an incredible anointing on him for the task in hand. But also he is incredibly gifted at making you feel part of it. And I think it's going to be one of the keys to the growth of Regions Beyond. We had a number of people went to the Hub in Dubai, the Hub conference in 2014. So it was Sandra and I, Ali, then we had Jenny, Andy and Isla, and Pete Gray. And I think all of us came back sensing...
It's awesome. And seeing the nations gathered, we recognise Christ, but we recognise a bit of the culture of church we know and love. Mm. It was just so rich and so broad and so diverse and fantastic to recognise that we're part of something huge, global, that is localisable here, but it didn't feel like New Frontiers, Stoneleigh kind of experience. It felt like home and foreign at the same time.
I've got to coin that phrase, home and foreign. And I mean, it was. Do you want to say anything, Jenny? Did you enjoy it, Jenny? Yeah. That's the right answer. Yeah, she's been well trained. But, you know, home and foreign at the same time. I think, was it over 30 nationalities?
And more than that.
You know, absolutely incredible. But when you come together and you're all sharing the same vision, values, based on your relationship with Christ, it's an incredible mix. And it was a fantastic conference. It's an annual one. They're holding it again in November this year. And, you know, if people are able to go, that would be tremendous. It's up to you to organise all of that. We can give you some advice and so on. But the Hub conference will not be running. I don't think it'll run much longer. I think they'll change it. But if you're able to go. Another thing that they hold on an annual basis is what they call Master Builders, which is a conference held in South Africa, Clarence, where Steve Oliver, really, God met, that's where God met him, that's where the whole work started and so on. And just back there in March, we had Ian, Eddie, John and Chris, who were out there and were incredibly impacted. So I'm not going to let Ian and John share. I'm going to ask Eddie and Chris, because the reality is you've heard these fellas before. Chris, come and share with us something of your experience, Master Builders.
Okay. Well, yes, all the way down. So the reason we went was John had fancied going to one of these conferences, Dubai, South Africa, South Africa, Dubai. I'm thinking, Dubai? So, South Africa, and besides, Dubai was at some dreadful time. And South Africa, and one of the attractions was that when Steve Oliver came, I was just so impressed with his heart. And the fact that he'd started this church in the middle of nowhere in South Africa. I mean, I'd looked on the map and it was in the middle of the nowhere, but you go to it and it really is the middle of nowhere. So there's this tiny little town called Clarence, and it's maybe 3 or 4 hours drive from Johannesburg, and it's really the middle of nowhere. The immigration officials, when we got into Johannesburg airport, they go, "Oh, where are you going?" And we go, "Clarence." And they go, "Where?" It's just like this tiny... It's kind of the Durham in South Africa, but no one has heard of it. And because it's a very small town, the way the church has impacted the town. South Africa, apartheid really wasn't that long ago. You have still vast inequalities between rich and poor, which is generally the fault lines between white and black. And so there's a tension. But in this tiny little town, actually, the church has had an impact. Many of the people you just bump into, some of the waiters in the cafes, they say, "Oh, are you here for the conference? I'll be there later on tonight when I'm off my shift." And it was like the whole town wasn't anonymous. It wasn't like going somewhere and you'd walk into a shop and you'd be someone anonymous on holiday. You were kind of part of this community, which was fabulous. And some of the highlights of the conference were seeing how the church has built up the community, built the most unlikely people into leaders of the church. So one of the guys leading the seminar came from Lesotho in the days when Steve's farm was on one side of the river, his part of Lesotho was on the other side, and they used to nip across the river and do the kind of illegal kind of, let's ignore the border, which they all got thrown in jail for at one point. But that he comes from one of the poorest countries in the world. And they had seen in him that with Jesus, he could lead people into the presence of God. And he's one of the leaders now in the church. The leader of their Mercy Ministry, People of Hope, she is an amazing woman. She is just incredibly dynamic. I tell you, demons had better flee when she comes in the room or they're toast. So she had she talked about the way they would sit with people with AIDS who were dying and just bringing the love and hope of Jesus into lives on the edge. And now there are, and just the way that they've been working with doctors trying to get medical care. Now there are retroviral drugs as well. People are living with AIDS rather than dying, which is a huge step forward. But just bringing hope to people who were hopeless. We went out to one of the rural farm churches, kind of like a house group, and just were part of that. So some of the people of Hope were there, and just were part of that, seeing a very rural setting. Yeah, Clarens is in the middle of nowhere, but you can go even further into the middle of nowhere from Clarens, and just seeing the church have an impact on its community, having an impact on individual lives. And that was fantastic. And in terms of the impact on our individual lives, as many of you know, we're planning next year to go to Japan for a year. My work's going to be over there for that year. And we've been thinking about church and thinking, well, you know, now we're part of Regions Beyond and they keep talking about church planting. Wouldn't it be great if there was some couple going to Tokyo who we could get behind and support for that year? And time had gone on. We'd kept asking around and no one had come out of the woodwork. And I'd been thinking, does that kind of mean that we should come out of the woodwork? Because then maybe someone else will come up alongside us. Or should we be strengthening a church there? And I'd been thinking this through, but thinking, yeah, well, maybe I'll talk to John about this later. And while we're there, John suddenly feels that, okay, yeah, this really is okay. You know, we've been thinking about getting behind a couple who wanted to. Well, the couple's us, I think. God is saying that the couple's us, and I'm going, yeah, I knew that. I just go, oh, good grief. So that was hugely exciting as well, that it's kind of a nailing our colours to the mast. Yes, I'd been thinking this and thinking it is us, isn't it? But it's one thing to think it privately and it's another thing to tell it to Steve Oliver, which kind of commits you to it in a very exciting way. So we're very excited, very encouraged, and just being part of something like that. It was incredibly dynamic. The worship was amazing, African dance. Flossie, was she called Flossie? This amazing woman who leads People of Hope. She did one of the main meetings as a, and her text was, "We are with you," in the same way that Ruth and Naomi, Ruth goes to Naomi, "I'm with you." That we're building together with that sort of relationship.
Cool. Thank you.
So just remind people when you actually depart for Japan.
April next year.
They probably will go on the same day. They may not come back on the... But you know, the tremendous impact just being part of that context, and I think that's what God's taking us into with this family of churches. There's a dynamic that we have probably not seen for many a year. I think we probably experienced it many years ago in Emmanuel, but it's something that's been lost along the way, and I think God's restoring something to us. Now, someone who, as far as we know, is not going to relocate to Tokyo is Eddie. Eddie was at Master Builders, and God spoke powerfully to Eddie, but not about moving to Tokyo. Or not that he's told you, anyway.
Yes, well, if I had the words, I would have said about Clarence what Andy said about Dubai, because it was very similar. It was a wonderful experience, seeing so many people from around the world there worshipping and praising God. And the worship and the words that we heard were really special. It was a very emotional and spiritual experience. Clarence itself, Christine's talked a little bit about it, but it's a beautiful place. They call it the Jewel of the Free State. And it is beautiful. And there's a particular thing about Clarence that struck me, and there's a mountain there, and it's called Mount Horeb. And wherever you go in Clarence, it is there. It stands over Clarence, and you can't miss it. I was talking to some African guys one day, and I said, "What do you call the mountain?" And they told me, but I can't tell you. one I can't remember. I couldn't pronounce it then anyway. But I asked them what the name meant, and they said it means look. And what came into my mind was that the mountain was saying, look at me. And what I got after that was, the Lord says, no, look at me. And thinking about this after, what came into my mind was that God was saying something to me about the mountain being an idol. Because it was something there that was in the way, stopping me reaching God, if you like. And that's been on my mind since, and it's still with me now, and God's still speaking to me about that, but I won't go into that now. But that was one experience that I had because of being there in Clarence, because I felt I was called there anyway. My daughter, while I was there, had a word which she sent to me, which was, you're going to have an encounter on the mountain, the likes of which you've never had before. So I thought, right, I've got to go up the mountain. Now, I wasn't too good on my legs. My legs were giving me a lot of trouble while I was in South Africa. And Ian said, you'll never get up the mountain. I said, if God wants me up that mountain, he will get me up that mountain. And so John said, well, look at it. He said, you don't have to listen to us. He said, if I were you, I'd have a word with Steve or Rhea tomorrow. So I went to church the next morning, and Steve Ollie was there in his own. He said, hello, Eddie. And I says, hello, you'll do. And I told him about it, and he said, well, you know, what you've got to realise, Eddie, is you're already on the mountain, because that's Clarence. You're almost 6,000 feet up anyway. So we had that little chat, and we went into the meeting, and yeah, there was a call that morning for anybody who'd felt he'd been called to Clarence for a reason. So I went forward for that, and I was prayed for, and I did have that encounter with the Spirit, which was fairly powerful and really meant something for me. So that was my experience in Clarence. It was a personal one. It was, for me, a spiritual one. But overall, just being there with those people, just a wonderful, wonderful time. I was well looked after. You know, I'm the oldest one there, but they looked after me. Mine, I needed looking after. You know, so thanks very much to you three for that, because it was really great. And that's all I've got to say.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Thank you.
It is difficult in one way, though, to, in a sense, express the difference that being in regions beyond has made. But there is that difference. And we want to develop this relationship. We want to build upon it. We have Ali, who is, where exactly is Ali at the minute? He's arrived. Yeah. So he's there for the Transform conference along with Dan, and Ali's doing some of the teaching there. But after the conference, he's heading to a city called Pune, where we have a contact with Colin De Cruz, who leads a church there, and we've been asked as a community to just build relationships with Colin. And Ali's the first chance we have of someone from here connecting. So he's going to spend, I think, after the Transform, a few days there. And he's taking a whole day's teaching session there. And eventually, at some point, Colin will be coming to visit us. So when he does arrive, you'll know who he is. He's the gentleman who's in the corner, freezing to death, in the middle of one of our hot summer days. I think the temperature out there is in the high 30s. So, you know, these worldwide links are in the process of being developed. We're not starting it. We're in that process. It's already underway. Now, one of the blessings, when we were no longer part of Christ Central, there was a particular weekend at the end of August that was going to be freed up. Yeah. There was going to be no more North weekends. And the thing about the North weekend is you always realise that, you know, the summer has gone. You do. You know, see, it's the end of August, but you think, oh, right. as the wind and the rain and the lash, the tents, and the mud. And you go into a meeting and you're sitting near the door. And you know how penguins, when they huddle, they shuffle. They sort of keep warm. You felt, I could do with a good shuffle because I'm freezing here. But you can't close the doors, we've got the fire regulations. And you go, well, we could do with a fire, actually. And so it was with great relief that, you know, you think, well, we're not going to have to do that anymore. And Ray Lowe assured me that Regions Beyond would never be involved in a camping weekend. Now I want to announce. You heard it first here. A Regions Beyond family weekend. But it is, I'm not going to even attempt the dates, but it's the second bank, it's the last bank holiday in May. So it's the end of May, right?
Next year.
Next year. Yeah, not this year. Next year is going to be a gathering. And a few of us went down to the Catalyst weekend last year and the year before, which is held on that same weekend. And what you realise is, you know, you come out of a meeting and it's still light. It wasn't necessarily warm, but it wasn't freezing. And it just alters the whole way the whole thing works. So that's the good news. Second bank holiday, May next year. And the better news, it's at Norwich. Now, if you tow a caravan, what you work out is it can take as long, yeah, it could take with brakes.
And coach full of
30
kids.
Well, yeah, you're brave. You're brave. Well, brave or stupid, but brave man. But if you're towing a caravan, and then of course you get to a particular age and you have to have loo brakes, which begin at Bourbon Services when you've left Durham.
In the car.
It could be quicker to fly to Dubai than it is to drive to Norwich. But that's on the cards for next year. I just warn you now. So it'd be great if you could go, but if you can't go, just make sure you've got other holiday arrangements. And they go, oh, I'm sorry, I've already booked up. Now, very exciting times. Are there any questions regarding the whole thing with Regions Beyond? Do you feel a little more confident in answering what is it?
I was talking about this recently with someone who doesn't know what part of New Frontiers they're churches in, so I'm doing better than that.
Yes, yes.
New Frontiers on the website used to have a list of churches.
Yeah.
I can't find online, I've looked in the past and looked today, the 91 churches you mentioned. Can maybe you read that to the Regions Beyond team?
Yeah. The Regions Beyond website is one of the worst you've ever come across, if you find it. But yeah, that's certainly something that is under development. Because if you look at the Gateway Dubai website, it gives a list of what they call our friends, I think it is, and there's only three or four churches mentioned there. So the whole thing needs to catch up with itself, definitely. Yeah, thanks.
This camping weekend, is it just for the UK churches?
No. It's not compulsory, Isla. I do remember that year. Yes, I do remember that it would be the first year Finney and Company went to us. We were down at Stoneleigh. Yes, we're in the sheep pens. Finney, Glory and the kids. And to be quite honest, it wasn't an unpleasant summer, but Finney and the family were frozen. And so we gathered, didn't we? We did a collection of fleeces, blankets, anything that would keep the warm. I said, well, Finney, why didn't you? He said, well, I thought it was the summer. No. Well, it is, Finney. This is about as good as it gets. But yes, it is open to churches worldwide. Whether they're daft enough to go to it is another matter altogether. Anything else? The The two apostolic figures who head up the whole thing would be Steve and Ray. But if you look at it and how it may develop in the next 5 years, one of them may not be as active as they are now. Do I get a brownie point for that? So I think there will be a natural development where one person will emerge as the sort of the apostolic figure. But the other thing I think we need to remember is each church within this family is autonomous. So they do act as a father, an advisor. I mean, Ray, you've worked out how long Ray's been coming to us. How many years?
20 years this November.
20 years Ray has been connected with us. We have tried to get rid of him on a number of occasions, but he keeps coming back. But Ray does come, and he operates out of friendship and relationship. And he never comes and say, you have to do. He makes suggestions. But because we are autonomous and he respects that, we can say no. So I remember taking him back to the airport once and he made this suggestion. And I just said, no, Ray. I said, over my dead body. He said, well, that can be arranged. So they're not there to force an agenda.
No, yeah. It was more in terms of accountability.
Well, what's you've got Steve and Ray. What's going to be happening is they're developing a wider team, and we will probably connect in with some of the members of that wider team. Yeah. But it's not a top-down authority thing. Some of us were in that 25 years ago, and it's not necessarily a pleasant place to be. But there is that respect, you know. I mean, basically, at the end of the day, Ray can come and suggest, and we have taken many of the suggestions on. If it got to a point where you're just constantly saying, no, then there's no point in it. Thank you. Anything else before we move into prayer? Hello? Tokyo. Oh, I'm just recruiting for John and Chris. Both. Because, I mean, if you talk to the four who went to Master Builders, they've benefited enormously, but I think that's had a knock-on effect with us and will do as time develops. So as the words of an individual begin to work out, then it'll have a big... So, you know, John and Chris at Tokyo, that's going to have an impact on our prayer life. Ultimately, it would be... It would, you know, who knows who God may call to it. So I think it's both, yeah. I'm going to hand that over to my learned colleague who understands more of this because I'll get it wrong.
My understanding is that New Frontiers as a legal entity no longer exists. My understanding. But I'm very happy because if you talk about church to people and you mention New Frontiers, it's great if they even heard of New Frontiers. Then start saying the regions beyond will really confuse people. So I generally describe it that we are part of Regions Beyond, part of New Frontiers. So all the spheres are still retaining that part of New Frontiers as a way of labelling what kind of church we are, what style we expect, and that sort of thing.
I can maybe add something to that, because I sneak out of Regions Beyond every now and then. I'm part of the Christ Central School of Leadership programme. Because we were in Christ Central when I started. So I had the opportunity to hear Jeremy Simpkins speak on this sort of thing on a number of occasions. And he's described the New Frontiers Leaders or Regions Collective that met in Turkey last year with Terry. Well, Terry was virtually there because he met in America. There's still very much a heart to connect together, and that they recognise it, particularly as UK leaders, the New Frontiers voice in the UK has somewhat disappeared as everyone's looked to build sphere, you know, collective, you know, nature of their relationship to churches. And there is still an active movement, particularly amongst the UK leaders, to recognise that New Frontiers may not have a legal status, but it's still a family together. But because it's got so big, you know, the point Jeremy made was that Christ Central, as it stands today, is bigger than New Frontiers was when Downs Bible Week started, which was going on in the 1980s. But the thing has got so big that it's just unmanageable to to have New Frontiers as one entity, but there are lots of relationships, and they look to have accountability and mutual, you know, collective working together wherever possible.
Yeah, and I think there's still many churches looking at the prophetic that, that came to New Frontiers and are still running with the promises to see, be outworked within their own individual spheres that have that joint history behind them.
It's a bit like a, you know, like any family, isn't it? You just, because you get bigger, it just goes out more, doesn't it? It's more like family, family. But,
Anything else? Excellent. Right, well...